This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome to Nowisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This issue focuses on the Thanksgiving holiday, but it turns out that feeling grateful anytime is actually good for you. So in our cover story, Terry Barr introduces us to a young Wisconsin woman who shares the little thing that she's thankful for every single day. You don't want to miss this one. Amanda Nimmer, like so many of us this week, has food on her mind and debates which is the best Thanksgiving side dish. We have stories on a huge donation to area food pantries, a closer look at Paul's Pantry, and holiday scams and how to avoid them. Savannah Tomei Olson looks at funding childcare in the state, and Conrad Krieger tells us about a surgeon who's thankful to be able to help people in underdeveloped countries. Later, how about a five-course Thanksgiving menu of music? It's beautiful notes of gratitude you'll want to share with your family and friends. So let's open this issue, beginning this season of thanks and giving. Now, for some, this season is a way to make money and not necessarily in an honest way. According to the AARP, 80% of Americans were targeted by at least one holiday scam last year. Of those targeted, 48% fell victim to scammers, lost money, or exposed private data. Grant Wheat, the vice president of risk management at Verve, a credit union, says that scamming has become so prevalent, it's a global business.
This has become its own commerce, right? Fraud, scams is its own business now. In the U.S. alone, last year, was estimated $130 billion of American wealth transferred to scammers. And globally, we're looking at over a $3 trillion business across the globe when it comes to fraud and scams.
In 2024, prevalent holiday scams include fake charities, where scammers will create replica sites to mimic the appearance of a legitimate charity's website. They may also use fake social media campaigns and fundraising sites to trick people into making donations. Then there's gift card scams. Fraudsters try to catch you off guard and trick you into giving up the numbers on the backs of gift cards. Holiday vacation scams, where scammers may try to sell flights, holiday accommodations, or holiday getaways that don't exist. They may also direct unsuspecting holiday goers to fake websites to steal their personal details and payment information. And then there's lookalike online stores. Scammers will create online stores with deeply discounted prices to trick you into buying from them. If you do, they'll either steal your credit card number or force you to use payment methods that can't be reversed, such as wire transfers, payment apps like Zelle, or gift cards. Wheat said being aware of scammers is especially important during the holiday months.
The reason this is so big during the holidays is that people are just happy to give, right? This is a great time. Everybody feels rejuvenated when it's in the holidays. Everybody seems upbeat and you just want to give, right? You want to help out. That's all in the holiday spirit. So scammers take advantage of that.
He encourages consumers to slow down, talk to someone you trust, and look for red flags such as spelling errors, grammar errors, and odd email addresses or contact methods before acting on anything that seems too good to be true.
If it seems too good to be true, then it probably is, right? So from websites to charities to payment ways, if it's not something you've done before or have taken advantage of before, and it just seems too good to be true, then it probably is.
Risk management professionals say 57,000 Americans fall victim to a scam every day. Wheat adds that this time of year is ripe for the scammers to strike.
Before you do anything at all, before you take the money out, before you transfer anything, before you go buy gift cards, feel free to reach out to your financial institution. No matter what financial institution is, we're looking to help you. Talk to us. We want to help you. We want to be your partners in all this so you don't feel taken advantage of.
For Nowisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
My tea's gone cold.
the time of the year in the United States where we're very thankful for what we're given. One area doctor is taking that thankfulness and her knowledge and is sharing it with a third world country that doesn't have as much as we do. Conrad Krieger reports.
Dr. Evan Stevens with Purvey Health works in northeastern Wisconsin, but is involved with a program in Bolivia.
I go with an organization called Solidarity Bridge, and they have a boots-on-the-ground organization in Bolivia. And our goal is to train the surgeons there to do minimally invasive surgery. They don't have that 6, 8, 12 weeks to heal from a big incision, so we're able to teach the doctors there to do the surgery.
Steven shares how becoming a doctor in Bolivia is different than the USA.
They go from high school, or what we consider high school, into medical school. And it is a five-year medical school.
No college? No undergraduate?
Just medical school. Then they do 1 year of an internship as a doctor, going to different, kind of the way we do with rotations. And that allows them to be a general doctor out in the rural communities. And then they can also apply to go on and do residency or fellowship, similar to what we have here.
Stevens and Solidarity Bridge want to increase access to safe and timely surgical care in Bolivia.
There's a pre-care and an aftercare. So the hospital itself will have a campaign before we go and let women know that they can come and be screened or be examined, and we'll find some of the precancerous and maybe early cancerous things we can operate on while we're there. And then down in Bolivia, Puente de Solidaridad has social workers and teams of people down there to go make sure that they have clean water to access after the surgery, that can make sure that they've got resources available, who's going to care for their children if they're in the hospital for a few days, that type of situation. And so they are supporting them and allowing us to know, following up with the patients 30 days after surgery, how are they doing? Keep in touch and make sure those patients aren't just lost to going back out to maybe a rural town that they don't have care. Aftercare, that is part of what Puente is helping with, making sure that they have access to all of these things after surgery, making sure all of our patients are getting the appropriate antibiotics before surgery. Does all of the areas in Bolivia have it? No. Does Sucre, the main city, like, yeah, they've got running water and they've got septic systems and all of the things you would expect.
Steven shares why this is important to her and how you can help with Solidarity Bridge.
New challenge at every different stage in your life. And so the idea of being able to go to a place that it's not my native language and be able to teach them. You know what's amazing? That every time I stick a laparoscope in a patient, whether I'm here in Green Bay or down in Sucre, that anatomy is still the same on
right.
the inside.
Yeah.
Being able to have that conversation that this isn't a scary thing, that there are people here to help you. Okay, and that's a big part. Solidarity Bridge does great things on the ground in Bolivia. And if you went to solidaritybridge.com, you can get a lot of information about their 25th year. And that's those types of campaigns, the ideas of like getting mammograms, getting screening.
Right, right.
But it's me being comfortable talking about it. And it's doing things like this in the morning, you letting me talk about the fact that there's a vaccine that prevents cancer.
That was Dr. Aaron Stevens with Purveya Health and Solidarity Bridge, who joined Mino and the Mayor mornings on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Whether you go traditional with turkey and all the sides, or if you do something different like my family used to do and have homemade pizza, Thanksgiving is all about the food. Here's Amanda Nimmer.
Who's ready to stuff their face? Listen, we all can say Thanksgiving is about giving thanks, being thankful, finding things that you're grateful for, yada, yada, yada. Yes, that's fine and well. However, a lot of us know that we anticipate this holiday for the food, and specifically for the side dishes. Yeah, turkey's great, ham's pretty good too, but those side dishes, you might get them once, twice, maybe four times a year max. That's Thanksgiving. Oh, they're so good. In fact, according to a recent study by Campbell, you know, the soup makers, for a third year in a row, Americans have declared that sides are the star of any Thanksgiving table. And I agree. In fact, 56% of people prefer eating side dishes over turkey, which I can understand to an extent because, you know, maybe Aunt Cheryl made it a little too dry this year, or it's undercooked, not seasoned enough. There's multiple things that can go wrong. But when it comes to those side dishes, some of them are savory, some of them are sweet, some of them just fill you up and they don't make you sleepy. Oh, yeah, that's Thanksgiving in a nutshell. So what about Wisconsin? What in Wisconsin is the top side dish for Thanksgiving? Well, this answer varies greatly depending on the year that you Google it, because the studies change constantly, and so do the results. In fact, one year, it was said that baked potato was the top side dish for Thanksgiving, which I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a baked potato at a Thanksgiving table in a long time. It's normally mashed potatoes. Another said sweet potato casserole, brown berry stuffing, pistachio fluff. That one threw me off. I'm not sure that was a genuine study. Snickers salad. But in 2024, what are they claiming is the number one side dish for Thanksgiving? The green bean casserole. And I can get behind that, because if you make it just right, I mean, if you make it from scratch even, oh, it is deliciousness. Now, in America, the number one side dish is stuffing. And I'm assuming they probably mean like the homemade stuffing, you know, where it's stuffed in the turkey. Do people do that still? Do they still stuff the stuffing in the turkey to cook with the turkey? Or just that, is that the reason why the turkey's dry? Anyway, stuffing and green bean casserole are way up there. But we as Wisconsinites, we also include cranberry sauce, because we are the cranberry capital of the world, baby. But no matter what the family argument this year is, started by Uncle Greg, of course, just know that you can always steer it away from awkward conversations and straight to side dishes, and let everyone argue about food for a change. Or pie, because apparently Wisconsin's number one favorite pie is apple pie, if you can believe the studies. Stuffing my face with side dishes and many upon many deviled eggs from New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. Enjoy your meals, enjoy your holiday, and there you go.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
When we come back, our cover story reveals one woman's reason for daily gratitude, plus how you can help organizations like Paul's Pantry in Green Bay. First, I have a few tidbits for you. President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday back in 1863. George H.W. Bush was the first president to pardon a turkey in 1989, and a new survey shows more than 60% of you hope to avoid any conversations about politics during the holiday weekend. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Thanks for the memory of candlelight and wine, castles on the Rhine.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, a nationwide company with facilities all across the Fox Valley makes a Thanksgiving donation to area food pantries. Right now, with a movie that I was hoping he would take a closer look at this week, we have Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's film could be considered a classic's classic. The comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring Steve Martin and John Candy, came out in 1987. The film perfectly encapsulates the idea of going home for Thanksgiving in a film that makes the main characters count their blessings over the course of the movie. Steve Martin plays Neil Page, an ad executive caught up in his career and his life in the suburbs. John Candy plays Del Griffith, a nomadic shower curtain ring salesman who loves his customers and moves his belongings around in a big chest. The story is set into motion when Griffith inadvertently jumps into a cab that was hailed by Page, setting into motion the beginning of a holiday travel headache and the start of an unlikely friendship. As luck would have it, Martin and Candy end up sitting next to each other on the same flight.
I never did introduce myself. Del Griffith, American Light and Fixture, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division. I sell shower curtain rings. Best in the world.
And you are?
Neil Page.
Neil Page. Pleased to meet you, Neil Page. So what do you do for a living, Neil Page?
Marketing.
Marketing. Super. Super. Fabulous. Isn't that nice?
Look, I don't want to be rude, but I'm not much of a conversationalist, and I'd really like to finish this article. A friend of mine wrote it, so...
Don't let me stand in your way. Please don't let me stand in your way. The last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth. You know, nothing grinds my gears worse than some chowderhead who doesn't know when to keep his big trap shut. If you catch me running off of the mouth, just give me a poke in the chops.
The two iconic actors have unbelievable chemistry as they drive each other crazy while traveling across America, experiencing one setback after another. Nowadays, it seems unlikely you would ever share a hotel room, much less a bed with a complete stranger, but the film makes it plausible due in part to an absolutely brilliant script written by John Hughes, who also directed. The story was inspired by Hughes' own struggles to get back home to Chicago when he was a young copywriter. Despite Hughes thinking Martin and Candy were hilarious, he was not getting the reaction out of them that he wanted when they met Owen, the young man charged with driving Neil and Dell to Wichita to catch a train in the back of his pickup truck in the freezing cold. Hughes told actor Dylan Baker to spit in his hand right before shaking Steve Martin's hand when they met. Martin had no idea it was coming, and as they shake hands, his reaction was genuine and pure gold. Fun fact, Hughes initially wanted to cast Tom Hanks in the role of Neil Page and John Travolta as Del Griffith. Never mind that it only got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and that 8% of the critics are completely misguided, audiences loved it, and it stood the test of time as a feel-good holiday favorite. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is this week's classic movie pick of the week. Happy Thanksgiving, Northeast Wisconsin. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, Amcor and Kraft Heinz are donating more than 78,000 boxes of Kraft mac and cheese to food banks across the country. Fox Valley Food Pantries will receive 49,000 of those boxes. Ryan Rasmussen, the executive director of the Oshkosh Area Food Pantry, said that one in three people, or 30% of Winnebago County residents, faces food insecurity. He added that in Oshkosh Area School District alone, 54% of the students are considered economically disadvantaged and face food insecurity.
This is an incredible, incredible donation. We hope that this donation will last through the entire holiday season, because who doesn't love mac and cheese for Thanksgiving? I know I do.
Rasmussen said that of the 28 pallets of Kraft mac and cheese donated to the Fox Valley's food pantries, 14 would be distributed by the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry to pantries in Oshkosh, Winneconne, and Umro. The other 14 pallets will be distributed by St. Joseph's Food Program in Menasha to Nina, Menasha, Appleton, and Kimberly. Ethan Haas is the Amcor Foundation Board President and Amcor Liquid Vice President and General Manager. He said Amcor makes the packaging for Kraft mac and cheese, so the partnership just kind of fell into place. But the majority of the effort was the employees of Amcor.
They see the need in their communities, they see it with their neighbors, and they wanted to make an impact at this time of year where many families are struggling throughout the valley.
Mary Ann Dilling with Amcor Cares Charitable Foundation said the employees of Amcor collected the mac and cheese to donate.
We had an opportunity to unite all of our colleagues across North America to make an impact in this world. To say I'm proud of our colleagues would be an understatement.
Dilling says Amcor's client, Kraft Heinz, heard about the food drive and donated 49,000 boxes of product. She added that care and generosity resonate with the Amcor employees throughout North America.
So to be able to give back is something that we have a culture of care, not only for our colleagues, but also for the communities that we work, live, and raise a family.
Haas emphasized that this donation from Amcor and Kraft Heinz is just a drop in the bucket of what's needed in our communities. He encourages everyone to step up and make an impact.
We also have to recognize that the impact we're making has to continue. So this is only a start. Scott and Brian would tell you that they have the most amount of demand right now. And during the holiday season, it increases significantly. Being Thanksgiving time, we all have an opportunity to step up and even make more impact. So we encourage you to consider helping these pantries, not only St. Joe's, and the Oshkosh Area Food Pantry, but throughout the valley. There's plenty of great food pantries. We need to step up and help our communities.
Amcor has 14 plants in Wisconsin, most of them in the Fox Valley, and it employs about 4,600 people throughout the state. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. While working families are extremely thankful for it, childcare has never been more expensive. During the pandemic, Wisconsin gave extra funding to childcare providers, which helped them increase pay and stay open. But that funding ended last year. One economist says lawmakers should use our huge budget surplus to help an industry that really needs it. For New Wisco Weekend, here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
One of the biggest tasks for the state's new legislature is to write the next biennial budget, and they've got a lot to work with. Wisconsin currently has a $4.6 billion budget surplus. Republicans have said they want to give a lot of that back to taxpayers, while Democrats want to see it spent on things like properly funding the state schools. One place they might be able to meet in the middle is property tax relief. But experts say making childcare more affordable would make a huge impact for families. Dale Knapp, director of research for Forward Analytics, says child care is one of the unique sectors that could really use more government intervention.
The challenge with child care is you think about who that market is. The market is young families who are just beginning on their career, that who don't have a lot of money, and yet it costs a lot. For two kids, it can be up to 30-35% of income. The child care workers, it's not like they're making a lot of money. They're some of the lowest paid workers that we have. So private market in and of itself can't solve this. A lot of times we want the market to solve this, but I think this is one case where the public sector has to come in.
He says lightening that child care burden would impact everybody, whether they have kids or not. If parents of young kids have more cash on hand, they have more to contribute to the economy, whether that's spending at a small business, donating money to good causes, or being able to buy a home if they've only been able to rent. The new legislature gets sworn in January 6th. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. I want to
thank you. Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story. First, what makes you thankful? Family, health, and basic needs are this year's top three answers according to a new Wallet Hub survey.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
From the WGBW and WISS newsroom, I'm Lisa Hale, your host for New Wisco Weekend. It's time for our cover story. A young Northeast Wisconsin woman is counting her blessings, and not just on Thanksgiving. Terry Barr tells us about the unique little thing that happened and how it changed her idea around giving thanks.
Well, this is definitely a twist on Thanksgiving, and I'm going to call it Thanks and Giving. Tegan Griffith is a wife, she's a veteran, and she's Larry's mom. And in this season of the idea of being grateful and finding gratitude, it's really why I wanted to talk with Tegan. Thanks so much for joining me today, Tegan.
Thank you so much for having me, Terry.
You know, I mentioned you are Larry's mom, and I'm sure people have pictures in their head. Who is Larry?
Yes, Larry is not a little old man. Larry is my 5-year-old black and tan coon hound that I found in a ditch on my way to work one day.
You have to tell us more about this story. This is incredible.
Oh absolutely. I was working for the DOT at the time. And I was on my way to work one day. It was early 2019, and I turned onto this dirt road. And, you know, northern Wisconsin was full of snow still in the spring, and saw this little itty bitty thing moving. And I kind of got like a little bit closer, and I saw that it was this itty bitty, teeny tiny little baby dog puppy. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. What? So I pulled over and got out of my car and was kind of like, well, how do I get him in my car? Because he was so scared and skittish. He didn't want anything to do with me, but I had some cheese, as the story goes, some cheese in my lunchbox. And that's how I got him into my car, is luring him in with a piece of cheese. And I tucked him into my coat. He let me grab him. I tucked him into my coat, and I took him to work with me. I just went into my boss's office. I'm like, I found a puppy on the side of the road. I don't know what to do. And he's like, just take the day. Just take the day.
Oh,
so I took the rest of the day.
I love that. That's an understanding boss.
Oh,
and the cheese is so Wisconsin.
So
the story goes. What happened next?
And I just called the local police, you know, like, hey, I found a puppy in the middle of nowhere. I'm just letting you guys know. And a little bit later, the Humane Society called me and said, yeah, so you found the fourth puppy. Oh. And I was like, what do you mean? Four. So Larry's litter, his siblings were ditched, and his three sisters were found the day before. And so little Larry Longlegs was outside overnight all by himself. When I found him, he had been overnight in the cold alone. And so I was like, well, I have him and I will bring him over, I guess, and reunite him with his siblings. And there is a big reunion there at the Humane Society, just all these little puppies. And then they're like, well, we're pretty sure that, like, you're going to take him, right? You're going to adopt him. I'm like, yes. Yes, I am.
I know you have a cat. So
yes.
Were you ever planning to add to your family with a dog?
You know, cats are a little bit more portable. And Leonidas, I've had him since I was in the military. And cats are a little bit easier to move with. And I was not anticipating becoming a dog person so quick. But here I am.
In talking about, you know, the idea of being grateful, are you grateful for Larry? Do you feel like he's changed your life at all?
Yes, I am so grateful for Larry. I tend to be a little bit more introverted, which is kind of funny considering my whole life situation here. But Larry, his breed, coonhounds, are just, I mean, they're very personable and he never has a bad day. Nothing gets him down, even when the cat tries to bother him. He's just a happy-go-lucky, approachable dog. He loves cats, loves people, loves kids. He's just so full of love and light all the time that it's so hard to be grumpy about an everyday inconvenience when he's just looking at you like, hello, I love you. Can I have a treat? Or do you want to hang out outside? It's such a good reminder of having him around, that unconditional love of a pet. Ugh, right at the heart. It just gets me all the time.
Well, that's why I knew this would be a twist of a thanks and a giving story. So
Yes. Thank
you for joining me with this. I'm talking with Tegan Griffith, Larry's mama. And of course, she's so much more, but this is such a special part of your story. And I also appreciate so much you have taken the time to share Larry with all of us. He has a huge social media following, and I'm one of those people. Why did you decide to do that?
When I took to Twitter in 2019 to share his story, I had mostly been tweeting about veterans advocacy work and things like that, that I was involved in the veteran community. It was such a fun little story, and he's the cutest thing. And so I put it out there on social thinking, this is a great story. It's fun. I'm in public affairs for a living. I'm just going to tweet it out. And it's just such a nice, warm, fuzzy story. And the world deserves more good. So I shared it with the intention, like, all, you know, 800 of the people who randomly follow me are going to see this and think it's nice. And it totally launched itself globally. I think the last time I checked, we were at about 11 million impressions, which is wild to me that I, you know, that my presence up till then had been really serious issues about veterans and the military community as a whole. And then I tweet this cute little puppy dog on the side of the road. I did it because I thought it was a cute story and people would enjoy it. And you know, we have followers as far as Australia. A lot of people came out of the woodwork, Scotland, London. There's a gentleman who drives truck for a living with his little doggy. Dogs really bring people together. And dogs on the internet especially bring people together. So the people who follow us and have interacted, I mean, it's been 5 years now, which is wild to me. He has an Instagram now that we created because the fans, his just followers, wanted to see more. And so we call people Larry lovers.
Larry was a little puppy. Larry now has affectionately grown into a bigger dog that you call Long Legs.
Yes.
Would you do it again?
I didn't realize how big of an impact sharing Larry's story would have on me and the people that follow him around the world. There was a father who reached out who lives in New York City, and he said, "I read that tweet to my daughter at night for bedtime." I wasn't thinking that. Yeah, I would go back and find Larry in a ditch over and over again.
This is Tegan. She's Larry's mama. And I just have to tell you how thankful and grateful we are for you and Larry. And you really are a bright spot to so many people. Thank you so much. And I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Terry. You too. Though you may not drive
a great big cat. Every time we're out and about in New Wisco, we like to offer people the opportunity to share their story. What excites them? What they're most passionate about? The truth in their lives, whether good or bad. We call it the Civic Media Truth Booth. Today, we catch up with Vanessa, who is extremely thankful for one specific person in her life, the same person who inspired her to become a teacher.
My first grade teacher, Bonnie Schwenke. I wanted to be a teacher since the very first grade. I had she was amazing. I got to have her for 2 years because we looped. I actually got to student teach with her during her very last year before, you know, when she retired. She really was the person who kickstarted it all. I wanted to be just like her. Yeah, just love kids. That's it. Two words. Love kids. Nothing more than that. It really comes down just to those two simple things.
This time of year, our thoughts turn to being thankful, of course. And for many, it's also the time when giving, donating, or helping is a top priority. From adopting a family for gifts, donating to your favorite charity, or helping to serve meals, there are so many ways you can help. For organizations like Paul's Pantry, the need is year-round, but they're infinitely grateful for volunteers and donations that all go to help those facing food insecurity. In 1984, one of Green Bay's civic and philanthropic leaders, Leo Frigo, founded Paul's Pantry, one of the largest food pantry programs in the nation. Today, Paul's Pantry fights food insecurity in the greater Green Bay area by providing food and services to over 1,200 households every week. Bob Hornacek is the assistant executive director of Paul's Pantry. He said the humble beginnings of the pantry led to the legend of its founder.
It literally started with Leo going into dumpsters at grocery stores, which I always thought that was kind of an old wives' tale. Like, oh, sure. Until I had a friend of mine come down to the pantry and I was going to give him a tour. And he says, oh, no. I know all about the place. I used to live next door to the Frigos. And those stories are true. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it wasn't just Leo. I was the smallest kid in the neighborhood, he said, so Leo always brought me along because it was easier to pull me out of the dumpster.
Hornacek says now Paul's Pantry works with businesses and organizations to fill the shelves.
Right, and we work with all kinds of places, grocery stores, convenience stores, food manufacturers, all kinds of places to take their unsaleable products. So not necessarily, you know, expired meats might thing, because there might be a safety concern with something like that. But a lot of things, you know, when you're talking about cans of green beans, that expiration date.
Helping families stretch their food dollars and provide relief to a tight household budget has always been the aim of Paul's Pantry.
That was really Leo's idea, was to try to help supplement families so they can free up some of the dollars in their monthly budget to spend on the other things that they need so that they didn't have to spend it on food. So that's our goal. And that's one of the reasons we're as large as we are. Again, we're the largest food pantry in the entire state. We're one of the largest food pantries in the country because the model here is different. We're a grocery store, and our goal is to give people as much food as we possibly can to make it easy. You know, we don't want people to have to run to 5 or 6 food pantries to get enough food. Just like, I don't know where you grocery shop, but when I go grocery shopping, my wife and I go to 2 places usually. We don't go to 6 or 7 grocery stores. It's inconvenient. We don't want people in need to have to travel to different places to get what they need. We want it to be one-stop shopping as best we can. That's why the average shopper leaves Paul's Pantry with like 80 to 100 pounds of food each week.
And the need is not waning, said Hornacek.
And we are the busiest we have ever been in 40 years. And that's been going on for 2 years.
In 2023, Hornacek said Paul's Pantry served a record 50,000 households with food and services. And he said through 10 months of fiscal year 2024, they've already served 51,000 households. Hornacek says there's always been and will always be a portion of the community that struggles with food insecurity. He said we're now seeing the true effect that the pandemic had on the economy and hunger in the region.
There's a massive amount of people who are just struggling. And there's always a segment of our population who's struggling. But right now we've seen kind of the real impact of the pandemic. For a while, there were so many government programs that came in. There was so much emergency food shared and flooded into the system. And as that went away, we started to see some of the real impacts that had been masked by some of those government programs. We also see inflation. I mean, everything costs. And so a lot of people who may have been getting by before aren't able to get by.
Hornacek adds that the increases in housing costs and rent are also affecting the pocketbook and causing food insecurity in Northeast Wisconsin. He added that people affected by hunger look just like you and I.
Yeah, I will say the people we see at Paul's Pantry, they come from all walks of life. They really do. There's no one picture of what poverty looks like.
Paul's Pantry has observed 3 main segments of the population that need their services: retirees on a fixed budget, people who deal with challenges and barriers to employment, and the working poor. Paul's Pantry is at 1520 Leo Frigo Drive in Green Bay. For information on how to volunteer, donate, or use the services, visit paulspantry.org.
Thanks for listening to New Wisco Weekend. Stay up to date on local news with our newsletter. In the Oshkosh-Appleton area, go to wiss.fm/newsletter. In Green Bay, go to wgbw.fm/newsletter and get signed up.
I get a relaxation, and it's time to brew. I thank the Lord for the night time. I thank the Lord for you.
Coming up, how Thanksgiving and entertainment go hand in hand, starting with music. And did you know that the Macy's Parade has been a Thanksgiving tradition since 1924? And the NFL became a regular entertainment choice in 1920. This year, the Green Bay Packers will host Miami for a Thanksgiving night matchup. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Turkey, stuffing, potatoes, it's a plate of goodness. But Thanksgiving isn't just about the meal. It's family and friends, the experience, and the atmosphere. So why not add a hand-picked 5-course menu of music? And Terry Barr makes sure it's overflowing with notes of gratitude.
If you are heading over the river and through the woods, or are hosting family and friends at your home, music can help set the tone. So we cooked up this delicious list, starting with tradition. It's Bing Crosby, and it seems no holiday is complete without him. Luckily, Thanksgiving gets its due with I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For. Here's a taste.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor. Still I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got eyes to see with, ears to hear with, arms to hug with, lips to kiss with, someone to adore. How could anybody ask for more? My needs are small. I buy them all at the 5 and 10 cent store. Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
A timeless classic from Bing Crosby and I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For. Hopefully disagreements aren't on your plate this holiday, but you can always turn to Johnny Cash for a reminder of what should really matter. Our five-course menu of music continues with Thanksgiving Prayer.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year. To join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind.
That's Johnny Cash and Thanksgiving Prayer. Next, she wanted this to be a simple sentiment. And Natalie Merchant explained during a VH1 Storyteller special, she's proud of her kind and generous song of thanks. Your little taste of Kind and Generous by Natalie Merchant. Our five-course menu of music turns to Give Thanks and Praises. It's Bob Marley's way of saying give thanks on high for all the gifts we've been given.
Give thanks and praises to the moon and stars. Give thanks and praises so high. He will not deceive us, my brethren. He will only lead us. Oh, take that veil from off of your eyes. Look into the future of realize. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
And that's Bob Marley with Give Thanks and Praises. Well, it's time for the final course on our menu and a song to make you laugh. It's the self-written tune celebrating the holiday's MVPs, turkey, potatoes, and the post-feast nap. I'm Terry Barr, wishing you a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy Adam Sandler and the Thanksgiving song.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap.
At this time of Thanksgiving, I must say thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Thank you to our executive producer, Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Thank you to Terry Barr, our lead correspondent, and this week's correspondents, Savannah Tomei Olson, Conrad Krieger, and Pete Schwabba. And thank you for our commentary from Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, email me, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us, or contact us through the Civic Media app. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.